Good evening, Vernon. It's indeed a pleasure to be up here this evening to share God's word with this small group. It's a privilege and honor. It's always nerve-wracking to bring the word of God in case I bring it wrongly or so. I have a Pastor Mark to double-check on me. Anyway, good evening one and all. We're looking at Psalm 1 this evening. Psalm 1. I'll read this whole psalm out. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. May God indeed bless us as we look at this wonderful psalm this evening. There are six verses in this psalm, three verses describing the blessed man, and the next three, verse 4 and 5, talks about the ungodly, and the last verse is a balance between the ungodly and godly. The book of Psalm actually is arguably the most read portion of the Bible, I would say. Psalm and Proverbs, because they say for Proverbs, if you read one proverb, one chapter a day, over a month, you finish it up. But thank God we finish the book of Psalms in our responsive reading. It's not difficult why the author chose the theme. The theme of blessings as he focused when he wrote this psalm. Let us ponder on some reasons. God made mankind with a special blessing. Without his blessings, mankind would not have survived and thrived. Also, if you look at Genesis chapter 1 verse 22, God blessed them. It says, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowls multiply in the earth. Obviously, it's not wrong to desire God's blessing. To desire God's blessing is most natural. Life can be very difficult and tough. The blessings of God also enhance our quality of life and significance on our existence on this earth. Even when we pray, even when a chairperson here pray on Sunday, or when we pray over a prayer meeting in small groups, what do we normally pray? We pray that the Lord will bless the church, bless our family, bless individuals. We all crave for blessings from God. But those who do not appreciate his blessings, if you look at Genesis chapter 3 verse 17, Adam disobeyed God. And Adam said, God told Adam, because thou hast not hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast not eaten the fruit of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat it. In sorrow that shalt thou of it all the days of their life. So they have difficult times in their life by disobeying God. So as we look at the first verse in Psalm 1, someone opens up, blessed is the man. It opens up the hope of being blessed by God. It challenges us to consider carefully what we must do on our part to obtain the blessings of God. The blessings of God can be treasured. They also cannot be taken for granted also. We can be lost, we can lose the blessings, and we can forfeit the blessings also. We saw how Adam and Eve, they were blessed by God originally, initially, but they lost their blessing. They were living in a perfect world then, but then when they were tempted in Genesis chapter 3 verse 1, they lost what was most blessings that they received in their earlier life. Why? Because there's presence of evil in this world. You just look at the news every day on TV, newspapers. The scene is ugly. There's bad news around, killing, kidnapping, you name it, bombing. So the presence of evil is real in our lives, in this world. And how should we respond? The psalmist was very clear in his mind as to the responses that must be made. It says, refuse to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Do not be influenced or connected with any ungodly surroundings or people. Satan has won over Adam and Eve. But our Lord in Matthew chapter 4 verse 1 to 10, you look at the three temptations that our Lord faced. He conquered them. We all know about the first temptation. He was challenged, our Lord was challenged to turn the stones into bread. But he did not succumb to that temptation. Because our Lord replied, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. So that's the first temptation our Lord resisted. Then the second temptation, we all know that, he was brought to the pinnacle of this temple. And Satan also challenged him, if thou art the Son of God, cast thyself down. What did our Lord reply? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And the third temptation, he was also taken to a high mountain. And our Lord was told, all this will be yours, the whole world will be yours, if you bow down to me, worship me. But our Lord resisted. See the contrast between Adam and Eve. When they were tempted, they succumbed. But our Lord stood firm. Our Lord conquered the last temptation, and the devil left him, and angels came and ministered to our Lord. We have to also refuse to stand in the path of sinners. There should not be any close association with unrepentant sinners. If there's any contact with sinners, it must be a purpose of bringing them to repentance. Don't let them suck you in or even attract you to their side. To stand in the pathway of sinners is to ultimately learn their ways. And also refuse to sit with the scornful. Those who belittle our God, those who are scornful, those who are despiteful of what our faith is, what our stand is, we must shun their company also. That if we continue to mix with them, our blessings we might even lose some of our blessings. So the person who is truly blessed by the Lord will have enough wisdom and sense to reject the company of the wicked. He prefers in verse 2, the psalmist says, to delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditate day and night. Delight in the law of the Lord. How do we understand this verse here? We enjoy reading God's word. It's not a chore. It's not a chore to read God's word. It should be second nature to us. And we've got to long to have fellowship with our Lord. And we've got to also discuss, listen. And not only that, we've got to pay attention also during a sermon. I know it's sometimes very hot. When the weather is very hot, people tend to doze off or so. But these are things that we should take note. We've got to be alert. When the word of God is expounded or preached, we must always be attentive. And also to meditate day and night. When we read God's word, our minds should be greatly stirred. It's not enough just to read the scriptures for information, but scriptures actually should feed us, and we should be strong spiritually so that the word of God can come alive in our lives. When we read the word of God, it reveals two things. The word of God should reveal the person of God, His mercy, His grace, His power, His sovereignty, and it also should reveal the plan of God. The plan of God is, last Sunday when I was in ABC, Pastor Glenn Locke preached on the Apostles' Creed, and I just borrow some of his statement here. God made me just the way I am. I am a designer original, one of a kind, a limited edition. So each and every one of us is different. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? So if we continue to search the scripture, that's the plan of God. Where are we? Why are we here? Where did we come from? And lastly, where am I going? So these are truths that if we continue to read the scriptures and even share to non-believers, they will come to know our Savior and our God. In verse 3, it says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." This is a wonderful verse. And actually there's a parallel verse also. Actually, many years ago I was taught by a BP minister. He says that scripture always interprets scripture. Scripture does not contradict scripture. A verse will explain another verse very clearly. So the parallel verse here is in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. It says, "Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in a year of drought, neither cease from yielding fruit." So this verse and the verse 3 in Psalm 1 matches each other, explains each other. So it's good that we can pick another verse from another chapter in scripture and compare them, and it explains to us very well. Because most of us do some planting, you know, either some fruit trees or even chilies or vegetables. If you don't water the plants or don't feed the plants, they will die. So just like us, just like a tree, if it's not being watered, not being cared for, not being tended after, it won't last. And trees are also mentioned in other parts of the Bible. It's an imagery of trees that is mentioned here. Trees are often used to illustrate something. The palm tree mentioned in Psalm 92 verse 12, the cedar tree also in Psalm 92:12b. So this is Prophet Isaiah when he talks about this verse, chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. Gives us a very good description of that verse 3 there. It shows that the picture of a tree is well cared for. Fruitfulness is the most obvious feature. Those of us who plant fruits will know this. Sometimes fruits don't grow also because of many reasons. maybe the weather is too hot, maybe it's a wrong manure also. But if it's tended well, it should grow. Just like the Word of God here, it will prosper in our lives, it will show fruits in our lives. So the fruits of a righteous person are always deeply embedded in Scripture. Because that's what, if we continue to read the Word of God, continue to prosper in our spiritual life, our roots are deep. So such blessings in life must be traced back to the Lord. He's the source of all our blessings. And we just look briefly at verses 4, 5 and 6. Talking about the ungodly. The picture of the ungodly is presented for us in verse 4 and 5. In verse 4 it talks about the chaff which the wind driveth away. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. It's also a description here. As we know, the chaff is very light, it's empty, it can be blown away easily. That depicts a person who is empty. There's no Christ in their life. There's no spiritual life in them. It's not grounded like a godly person. A godly person is grounded with roots, spiritual roots. Because they got no understanding of God. They get blown around, they get tossed around. A fool does not believe in God. That's what the Bible says. So he's a chaff. So the second picture is offered when we look at verse 5. We have a picture of an assembly here, a congregation before the presence of God himself. The godly, the righteous will make up the holy assembly. The ungodly will not be part of this holy congregation. The idea of judgment, we are introduced to the idea of God's judgment. It is God himself who determines who make up his congregation. God's means of discernment and choice will be obvious. The righteous will be distinguished by his love for the Lord and his word. As we look in verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 1, the righteous will be distinguished by his love for the word of God. But the unrighteous would be marked by his sinful and scornful way. Surely the heart is greatly stirred to choose the way of the righteous. So the psalmist here, so the choice we have here is, he chose his companions very carefully. The psalmist made some very conscious choices in his life. These may be enumerated this way. So he chose his companions very carefully in Psalm 1 verse 1. He refused to be associated with wicked people. He chose to devote time to the reading of Scripture, Psalm 1 verse 2. And he chose to let his heart and mind do dwell on what he reads from Scripture. So there's that awareness of a blessed man. So there's two choices now we have to face. The psalmist divided into two, as I pointed out earlier on, the way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly. So each of us choose our own way. God allows individual to make his choice, to which pathway he wishes to walk in life. The choice of the psalmist was very obvious. He chose the way of the righteous. It was the path of blessing from God. He would choose against evil. He would choose to walk with God. And lastly, he would choose to devote time to read the law of the Lord. It was the path that God acknowledged. It may not be a path that the world would choose. Obviously the world would not come to our side. However, it was enough for the psalmist that the Lord knows the path of the righteous. To choose a path that leads to ultimate destruction was unthinkable. Have you chosen your path? Because when we hear the word, it's a very sad word that we know John 3:16, the word perish. It's a very serious word there. Perish means you are cut off from God. You are thrown to hell. So we do not want to see any of us perish in sin and in distance with God. So may God indeed grant us understanding of this passage from Psalm 1 as we look at this very short psalm, only 6 verses. May God bless us. Let us pray. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, as we look in this very short psalm, that indeed we can be blessed by Thee, Lord, as we continue to read Thy scriptures and as we walk on this earth, Lord, that our light may shine forth for Thee, Lord, as living testimony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That we can indeed be good ambassadors for Thee. Help us, Lord, in our prayer group later on as we continue and seek Thee in prayer. As we pray and ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.